Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Let's talk to the Diddy. Ray Dittinger joins us every single Monday at this time. Our hearts obviously full of joy with the Eagles' victory. Our hearts also heavy with the passing and the unexpected passing of Bernie Perron over the weekend. On both topics, we turn to one of our Hall of Famers, the Diddy, Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. You know, Ray, we'll get to the Eagles, but I know the Bernie thing has hit you really hard. You knew him really well. I know you were with him recently. This is a big one in the history of Philly sports. If you could, some context, sir, from your mind, your heart, on the passing of Bernie Perron.
Oh, man. You said it, Joe. I mean, I'm the only journalist in town that covered the Stanley Cups in the 70s. I'm the only ones left. That was a long time ago, but it was unforgettable. I'll never forget those years. I'll never forget those guys. I'll never forget those parades because they started it all. And Bernie was the backbone. Bernie was the guy that got him there. And I've often said that, I mean, I've watched a lot of hockey over the years, but I've never seen, and you can take Brodeur, Wah, Hasek, Dryden, all of them. No goaltender ever played better than Bernie did those 2 years. It was what he did was unbelievable. Joe, do you realize that in those 2 seasons, he played 141 of 156 games?
Yeah, that's incredible. Wow. Yep. That doesn't happen at that position.
Never.
Yeah.
Never. And the year of the first cup, he set the league record for wins in a season. He won 47 games that year. He had 12 shutouts. He had a goals against average of 1.89. Playing for a team where the whole team was in the penalty box every night.
Right.
I mean, he was facing power plays the entire season, set the league record for wins. And in those back-to-back years, of course, he won Conn Smythe both years. He won the Vezina both years. And he had, in the two playoff runs, just the playoffs, in the playoff two runs, in those 2 years, he had 6 shutouts. Yeah. And over the 2 seasons, he had 22 regular season shutouts, and he had 6 postseason shutouts, and won both championship games, the clinchers, won them both by shutouts. Shut out the Bruins, shut out the Sabres to win the final games with zero margin for error. They beat the Bruins 1-0, and they beat the Sabres 2-0, and the second goal came in the final minute. So, it's a long time ago, but the memory of what he did that season and what he meant to this city and what he continued to mean to this city for the rest of his life is something I'll never forget.
Listen, Ray, how about when the Phillies a couple years ago and they're in the World Series and they say, all right, we want one representative from each team to throw out the ceremonial first pitch. And, you know, the only one that was recent was Brandon Graham as an active at that time Eagles player. And you had Mike Schmidt representing the Phillies, and you had, you know, Dr. J representing the Sixers. And you had Bernie Perron representing the Flyers. I mean, he is Philadelphia royalty. Ray, you were with him just a couple days ago. I was with him 2 weeks ago. I saw no signs that this was about to happen. You were with him last week. Did you get any indication that it had gotten that bad?
No. No, nothing. We, you know, my new play Spinner just opened on Wednesday, which is, and it's a hockey play at the Delaware Theater Company. And so for opening night on Wednesday night, I asked Bernie, I said, would you come to the theater? Would you come to the play and help us kickstart this thing, get it off on the right foot? And, you know, Bernie said, absolutely, I'll be there. Just tell me where it is and when you need me. And so he came Wednesday night as our special guest to take part, to watch the play and then take part in the question and answer session after the play. And he looked terrific, and he was in great spirits. And the memory I'll always have is, you know, when I introduced him and he walked onto the stage, he got this enormous standing ovation. Yeah. And I guess it was his last one. And It was really memorable. And, you know, at the end of the evening, you know, I gave him a hug and said, I'll see you. And as I was walking out, my last memory was I turned around and I looked, and Bernie was still standing on the edge of the stage, talking to people, smiling, signing autographs, and showing them his Stanley Cup rings. Mm. That was Wednesday night. So in answer to your question, did I see anything that I worried? No, he looked great. He looked and sounded great. And there he was, meeting people, shaking hands, and showing off his Stanley Cup rings right to the end. And, you know, great, great player, one of the all-time great players, one of the all-time great athletes in the history of this city, but also one of the very best people. They don't come any better than Bernie Perrone.
Totally agree. Ray, I agree with you 1,000,000%. And I'll say, for me, it was a tremendous thrill when I got to see him play for the first time in my life when the Winter Classic came to Philly in 2012. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
And, you know, because I was born in 78, so I didn't have memory of seeing Bernie Perrone play. And going down there that day to see the Flyers alums versus the Rangers alums, for me, over 50% of it was, for the first time in my life, I'm going to get to see Bernie Perrone play hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he just was, you know, I've been trying to convey it all show, Ray. He was just such a special person, and it's a tremendous loss. But I will also say we're very fortunate to have had him, both in the Philadelphia sports, you know, with the Flyers, the culture, for those of us that personally knew him. We're very lucky that Bernie Perrone was in our lives. And so God bless him, his family, you know, his wife, of course, and the Flyers organization and all Flyers fans. It's a tremendous, tremendous loss. Ray, let's talk some Eagles as well, because
sure.
I know you watched that game with a heavy heart. The news broke shortly before the game yesterday. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. We broadcast today from the Tasty Cake studio. Ray, I want to play the final play of the game for you and get your reaction to that, and then I guess we'll rewind and get to other parts of the game. But let's listen to how it ended. Merrill and Mike with the call.
Hold your breath. They blocked them the last time. The ball is spotted. The kick is away. It's blocked! It's picked up by the Eagles. Running with it is Davis. 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Game over! Jordan Davis!
Are you kidding me?
Blocked him again!
Are you kidding me?
Blocked him again! Have you ever seen anything like this?
Do you believe in miracles?
The Rams are standing silent. They can't believe what just happened to them. Successive field goal blocks win it for the Eagles. What a great, great game. What a great, great comeback. And the final score is 33-26.
All right, Ray, your reaction.
Well, my first reaction was, what a great call.
Right.
That's, you know, of all of Merle's calls, and Lord knows we've been listening to them for 50 years, that's got to be one of the great ones. And then you got Mike Quick in the background invoking his inner Al Michaels, taking us back to Lake Placid. But, you know, that was how it felt. That was how it felt. I mean, that was a game that was lost. That was a game that was gone, you know. I mean, I don't know. I certainly wasn't thinking at 26-7, oh, they'll come back and win this. I'm thinking, well, you know, 2-1 isn't bad. You know, I got a tough game down in Tampa tomorrow, but they win that one 3-1. They're in good shape. I mean, I had no thought. I had no thought they were going to come back and win this game. And they hadn't, you know, they hadn't won a game like this in terms of comeback fashion since the DeSean Jackson play, the walk-off up in the Meadowlands. But, you know, it's funny. That game, the game up in the Meadowlands, that everybody will always remember, the DeSean Jackson play, That comeback started with a play that was almost exactly like the Dallas Goedert.
Ray, I thought the same thing when it happened.
Yep.
It was right up the seam, just like it was to Celek. It was right up the seam to Goddard. I thought the same thing.
It's really
except this one was easier. I mean,
yeah.
Celek was really, really well defended. Goddard was poorly defended, but I thought the same thing, Ray.
It was exactly the same thing. It was the tight end up the seam, hits the pass, Celek catches it, takes it in, and even though they're still way behind, you got the feeling that was a spark. Now they have a chance. Before that play, I didn't think they had a chance. After that play, I thought they had a chance. And yesterday, it was the same thing. When he hits Goddard with that one, it's a scoreboard. They're still down double digits, but you had the feeling that's a breath of life, you know. And I thought, especially since this one was at home, and you had the crowd, it kind of ignited the crowd. The one in the Meadowlands, you were in hostile territory. But I felt exactly the same thing, that you know what, maybe they can pull this off, and they did, and it was a real tribute to Jalen Hurts. You know, you got to give it to him for what he did in that second half, just putting together one long drive after another, and the final drive. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it's 91 yards, 17 plays, and I think that you're holding your breath the whole time, because all it takes is one mistake in that drive and it's over. You know, and you're driving 91 yards, being asked to drive 91 yards against a very good defense. And play perfect, flawless football. Because one mistake ends the game, and you didn't make one. Comes down to fourth down, and he throws a perfect shot out to Smith at the corner of the end zone. And there you go. And then it all comes down to Jordan Davis saving the game with that play. Amazing. You know, we've talked a lot about his work in the offseason, his conditioning, losing the weight. And, man, have you seen it through these three games?
I'll
I mean,
say.
All the snaps that he's played,
yeah.
And as well as he's played, oh, my goodness. But what he showed you when he scoops that ball up and runs with it, I mean, that's what we all saw at the scouting combine. I mean, that's what we saw when he was being tested coming out of Georgia. I mean, I still remember writing down the numbers on that. Here's a guy that's, at that time, he was 6'6", and he weighed 341 that when he checked in at Indianapolis for the combine. He did a 32-inch vertical jump. He did a 10-foot standing long jump. And then, of course, he runs the 4.78 40 that nobody could believe.
Giant, yet electrifying.
Oh, it was.
He
was no sleeper. I mean, everybody knew, because he played at Georgia, and because he played really well, and he won the Chuck Bednarik Award as Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he was not exactly, he came out of nowhere. Everybody knew he was a good player. But it wasn't until Indy that everybody saw what a freakish athlete he was. And that's when he moves up the board, and the Eagles draft him, and he comes here, and he has become a really good player. And then
finally
yesterday
showing
he makes
up again.
Yeah, and then yesterday he makes the play that absolutely will go down in Eagles history as one of the all-timers.
Ray, there's a lot of good feeling about the way it ended, but this season our run game has not been anywhere close to what I expected, what we all expected after Saquon 2,000 yards last year. Saquon's averaging 3.3 yards a carry, and it just hasn't looked anywhere close to it needs to. How worried should we be about the run game?
I'm a little concerned about it. I'd be being disingenuous if I just said, don't worry. Don't worry, they'll get it together. I don't like the way it looks right now. You know, and I really don't think, because some people are asking me, is something wrong with Barkley? Is he hurt? No, I don't think he is.
We know Landon Dickerson is not quite what he needs to be health-wise.
No, no.
We know we have a right tackle who's not, the right tackle.
No, no.
Is that the root of it?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent, That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Part of it. The center's not playing particularly well. You know, I mean, Jurgens isn't playing particularly well either. I agree with you about Dickerson. I think Dickerson is clearly he's playing through significant injury here.
Yeah.
And, you know, give him all the credit in the world that he's out there. He's still competing his butt off. But he's not playing the way he played last year. And nor is Jurgens. And that's, you know, that's the heart of your offensive line right there. And I wonder, you know, Jurgens had back surgery in the offseason. I just wonder if he's completely back. I don't know. It doesn't look like it. So that's part of the problem. And there doesn't seem to be the same kind of timing between Barkley and the offensive line right now. They just haven't hit it yet. They aren't there yet. But at this point, 3.3 yards per carry, yeah, that's a worry. But the thing about this team is, and it's a cliche, but it's very true that they do find ways to win.
Yep.
You know, and this was a team that, you know, the Rams are good.
Yeah.
You know, the Rams are good. The Rams are going to the playoffs. I mean, there's no question. They're really good. And nobody in the league has allowed fewer points through two games than this Rams team. And you're down 19 to them in the third quarter, and you've found a way to come back and win. And just the fact that the team was able to fight back and make the plays they made and convert every big situation. It just speaks volumes about the character of this team, the want-to of this team. And I think any of the worries that anybody had was, oh, after the Super Bowl, they won the Super Bowl, they got the rings. You know, are they really going to be as hungry? Are they really going to want it as much? Well, yesterday they showed you they did. I mean, if there was an ounce of complacency there, the kind of an, oh, geez, well, we lost this one. But, oh, that's right, we'll win next one. There wasn't that. I mean, they got behind, and then they made all the plays and every right situation, every big spot. They came in the second half. They were able to come back and win a game against a team that's a really good team. And you know, to be sitting here, I mean, have they played great through this point through three games? No, they haven't. And statistically, you look at the numbers, and they certainly aren't going to tell you that. Wow, what a powerhouse! But the fact of the matter is, you came through a really tough stretch of games here, and you're 3-0. And it's sort of like, you know, don't ask how, just ask how many, and that's what they're playing right now.
Ray, it's great commentary, my man. I wish we could do, you know, the whole show on Bernie or the whole show on the Eagles. We're obviously mixing it in both, and I know you were close with him, so let me just say condolences to you and everyone who loved Bernie Perrant, because I know this is weighing very heavy on your heart today.
Sure is. I mean, at the play last night, you know, we had a moment of silence for him, and I don't know if everybody in the theater had the opportunity to see him play. I wish they had. But they certainly all knew who he was, and they certainly all knew what he meant to the city of Philadelphia. And you're right, Joe, it was a tremendous loss. We're all feeling.
Ray, God bless you, and Flyers fans everywhere. We'll talk soon, Ray. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk next week. Thank you, Ray.
You too, Joe. Take care.
All right, there he is, Ray Dittinger. How about that? Bernie was with him on Wednesday. How about that?
First and 10. They're at the Rams 33. Hurts back. Hurts steps up again. He is firing. It's caught. It's a touchdown for Dallas Goedert.
That's what the offense should look like. Now we're clicking. Now we're finding a rhythm. Now you're throwing the football, and you've got wide open targets. Open up this offense.
Well, a tremendous victory. I mean, really, really a tremendous victory. Good morning to you on a glorious Eagles morning. Now, we're certainly extremely sad about the Bernie Perrant situation, so we have an odd dichotomy today of something super, super positive and super negative, obviously, on the other side. But we field phone calls on both topics. Both will be in the air all week, obviously. And happy to have you with us on this on this Monday morning. Let's also remind you a couple quick Phillies notes from the weekend. I know a lot of people probably didn't pay a ton of attention. Games out west, you kind of already knew the Phillies were probably going to be the 2 seed. Well, now they are even more probably going to be the 2 seed. So the way it shook out between the Phillies, the Dodgers, and the Brewers over the weekend is that while the Phillies can catch the Brewers, and while the Dodgers can catch the Phillies, the reality is it's not going to happen. So Phillies are going to be the 2 seed. And you'll know that, you know, for sure, probably within 2 or 3 days. And which is good. I mean, it means the Phillies will get a bye. And there's a really good chance Phillies and the Dodgers will be playing in the second round of the postseason, which will be the Phillies' first postseason round. So that's where that stands. The other two big Phillies things from the weekend to let you know. One is the Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's summer clearance event is on. All 2025 leftovers are discounted for immediate sale. Visit ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Which is the Castellanos comments from the other day. And we have this poll question. Are you annoyed with what Nick Castellanos said after the game Friday night? A, yes, B, no. I mean, John, I don't know how anybody can't be annoyed. I mean, he's taking shots at Rob Thompson. It's like 2 weeks before the playoffs start.
It's so passive, it's inappropriate. Aggressive. Yeah. It is inappropriate. You're making it about you instead of the what should be a team on its way to
and he's not taking ownership.
Things. No. No, like, no, the blame. He's assuming none of the blame. He's saying, "Hey, I'm playing. I'm doing my part."
Yeah, it's
I don't know what Rob Thompson's deal is, and he's not communicating with me. And you know, it's I don't know. It's unhealthy, and I hope it is a salvageable situation that they can keep at bay for the duration of this postseason journey, because this is the kind of thing that can, you know, upset the apple cart.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, it's just not good. So that, and then the other big thing for the Phillies from the weekend is, I think it's becoming pretty clear it should be a Walker Buehler start in the postseason instead of an Aaron Nola start. Now, they both still have another crack at it, obviously, in the regular season. But, you know, it's hard at this point to say, let's go with Nola. Now, we'll see what they do, but I wouldn't, and I tend to think they will not. All right, let's go to the phones. Eagles, obviously, and Bernie Perron, two major topics, 215-592-9494. This segment, you'll hear audio after the game from Jordan Davis, Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, and more. Plus, reminder, Seth Joyner with us for an entire hour in studio. Seth from 9 to 10 today. Let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning, team. How you doing today?
Good, man.
Great, Chuck.
Hey, listen, I want to say shout out to Mr. Perron. You know, I never really followed him like that, but I knew he was a big landscape of Philadelphia sports. So, you know, pouring out for Mr. Perron.
Yep.
You know, rest in peace, brother. Listen, this game, I want to say this is one of the only times that I was happy the Eagles were down. I know it sounds stupid, but let me explain for a second, right? You know, it allowed us to open up the offense, and that's all I've been asking for. You know, for this offense to open up, I knew they had the capability of doing that, and they did it, you know,
feels good.
My imagination, man.
It feels good seeing that they can. even though I expected they could, you know, it's good to see the passing game look like it did last season.
Well, and also, Chuck,
it hadn't.
And I'll say this, because I said it at the beginning of the show, and it's worth a repeat. This is the kind of performance that absolutely can get me to believe more in Jalen significantly. And part of that is that not only did he lead them back, but it was the kind of thing where it was through the air, and we've wondered, because they haven't been in a roughly 20-point hole much in the last 4 years. They don't, you know, they don't get into those games.
Yeah.
And so to see him reach into that bag and bring them back the way he did, I thought it was one of, if not the best halves of football he's ever played.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And another thing is this, right? I mean, you're going to talk about, you know, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown all day long, and rightfully so. But it's two unsung heroes I just want to give a shout-out to. Number one is big old Fred Johnson, who came in to settle down that offensive line. Man, losing Lane Johnson is huge, man. You got to challenge anybody to go out there and look at our win-loss record when he's out the game. He's a bona fide Hall of Famer. And for Fred Johnson to come in there and they make the adjustment – and he settled that thing down the way he did, man. Shouts out to him. And I feel comfortable going forward if Lane was to miss any time with him at right tackle opposed to the other guy. And Zach Bond. Zach Bond, to me, is the best linebacker I've ever seen in the Eagles uniform. Yeah, I said it. You know, Jeremiah Trotter, great. Emmons, great. You know, Willie T was one of my favorites. But this guy,
and Seth Van Bergie,
can cover. I mean, I've never seen Bergie, but I'm talking about in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. This guy that can cover. I mean, he can blitz, he can tackle for losses, he's all over the field, and I thought it was just a one-year thing. But I'm so glad that they signed this guy, and I see that as he's just a tremendous linebacker, a tremendous football player, man. He's all over the field, man, and he kept us in this game, and I think he's the leader on that defense.
The defense.
He might be the best in
South. Great player, man.
He might be.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he probably is.
Probably
he was
is,
huge in the
crazy.
First half.
Yeah.
I think he probably – Chuck, good call, man.
He's amazing, and he's next to Jahad Campbell. These are two linebackers. No one sees linebackers like this. You know, there are other amazing pairs of linebackers around the league. You know, I can think of the 49ers. I can think of the Raiders. You know, in previous incarnations of their defenses.
Sure, of course.
Where the inside backers were the strength.
Yep.
This is another level. This is two – inside linebackers, and I hate to get all nitty-gritty with the 4-3 and the 40, but it's the only way you can represent just how fast these guys are. This is unheard of speed. Unheard of speed in the middle of your defense. A 4-3 in the 40 that's Tyreek Hill. And I know that sounds crazy. It sounds crazy to me that these two inside linebackers of ours – I mean, Jahad Campbell ran a 4.39.
Mm-hmm, I understand.
But that we're even close to what Tyreek Hill can do with our inside linebackers whose jobs are now to, you know, potentially rush off the edges, which we've never seen here in Philadelphia with our inside linebackers. We used to see Jeremiah Trotter clog those A-gaps
with
the best of them. That was awesome.
That was great.
And that really does foul up an offense.
Yeah.
But now you're stemming those guys to the edges, and they're the pass rusher, and they can actually get there. Or we're sending them up the A gaps like Jeremiah Trotter. Right. Or we're cross-dogging them. Or sending one, and the other one can be a great man-to-man coverage on a tight end. We can do so much that it's just unheard of
in other places
because of the level of ability of these guys. And I don't even think we're close to scratching the surface to what they're going to be able to do with Vic Fangio calling the shot.
Sure. Yeah, Campbell should get obviously even better. And here's the other word I'll say, because there's all the talent and all the speed you're talking about, but they also have something really key, and Seth had it, and Willie T had it, and Trot had it. It's instincts.
Totally. That interception.
I mean, interception is instincts.
Totally, man. He read his eyes, read the play, waited until the ball was thrown, and made his move.
That is an instinctive play. And for a converted, you know, different position player, that is something. All right, let me ask a negative question. Just because, look, we'll get to the various negatives as we move through the week, and it's not something we need to dwell much on because they found a way to win, and I think we're all in a good Eagles mood. But I am curious what the three of you think the answer is. Why did Sirianni call that timeout?
So I have a guess. I still don't think it makes all the sense in the world, but I think when he called it, he was thinking, I have two timeouts left, they have two plays, maybe they kick the field goal, we get the ball back with like 7 seconds. I could take a shot, kick a field goal. Because there was like 15 seconds or so.
Gotcha.
So like that was the only thing I could think of. But then he didn't call one on the next play, which was weird. Like if you're going to do it, then call it after they run for a few yards and have like 9 seconds on the clock instead of three.
Yeah.
So that kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah,
that
like,
was my thinking.
I gotcha. So it's sort of like when Kansas City beat Buffalo in 2021.
Exactly
with
like
13
that.
Seconds.
Exactly like that.
Like let me have two plays.
Take a shot, get out of bounds, kick a long kick and see what happens.
Yeah, I would not say that's an advisable way to do it.
I wouldn't either.
Because he gave them 7 extra yards.
I agree with you. I wouldn't have done it.
Yards.
It's the only thing that like any logical sense
you
I could
think that, Ray? You think that's the reason?
Probably. I mean, all I could think of was Jordan Davis saved his bacon.
Yeah, I mean, all I could
because
think
there
of
been
is...
there would have been one of the main questions.
Yeah, they would have had to take it a timeout and probably kick a 50-yard field goal, and so they got to kick a 43-yard field goal. I'm saying the other team. So it was very bizarre.
But James is probably right. You know, you're trying to do the math with the numbers.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it again, though. I'll say that.
Oh, I don't agree with it for what it's worth. I'm just saying what I think it could have been.
Yeah, I thought that was insane. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's listen to Sirianni in the locker room. After the game with the guys, obviously tremendous vibes as the team gets to 3-0. And Sirianni, I don't know if it's about challenging them, but he immediately goes to, I need more and more and more of this, what they did yesterday. Listen.
Guys, that mental toughness, this is what I need you guys to have in your time. I need you to have it the rest of the season. I need you to have it the rest of the time you're an Eagle. And I need you to have it the rest of the time you're in life.
Yes, sir.
That there's going to be times we're f***ing down. There's going to be times we don't want to get back up. All right? We don't want to get back up, but we pick our f***ing selves up and we keep getting up. All right? You guys got to remember that for me. All right? Because that's what this team did today.
All right.
There's something dangerous about a team that doesn't stop fighting. There's something dangerous about a team that doesn't stop fighting.
Let me tell you something. We've all seen enough sports to know one of the most admirable traits, if not the most admirable, is the ability to find a way to win through struggle. Rocky wouldn't be Rocky if he wasn't getting pounded by Apollo Clubber and
fictional and, Joe.
Okay. Evander Holyfield won't be Evander Holyfield. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be tough.
Yeah, be sure.
Freaking tough, physically and mentally. And it's part of why with Joel, it's like, dude, you got more talent than anybody in the town. Now, at this point, he probably can't answer the bell because of the knee ever again. We'll see. Hopefully he can. Maybe he won't. Who knows? We'll find out in the next couple weeks what he's got. But you know what I'm saying. Over the first 10 years of his career, whatever the heck it's been, we all know no one's got more talent. But we also know he's not wired the way Jalen Hurts is wired. We know that. So, you know, this is a very admirable beating heart of this team. And I remember 30 years ago when the Rockets won their second title and Rudy Tomjanovich, you know, stood up there and said, never underestimate the heart of a champion. And I was thinking that yesterday after the game. Like, that was championship metal, man. That was championship metal the team showed yesterday.
We're talking about the toughness, the resiliency. Yeah. We're also talking about just individuals who are out there on the field who can whoop you.
I agree.
I'm talking, just take a look.
I agree.
Take a look at Nolan Smith again. Again, offensive linemen try to kick him out because that's their job on a power play. Their job is to pull from their spot on the other side of the ball, on the other side of the line of scrimmage, the center. So they've got a head of steam behind them. And Nolan Smith standing there anchors in and just clobbers these guys
shocks
week
people.
After week.
I know it does.
I mean, like, bam, stops them in their tracks. You don't see this. Normally you can't possibly continue to do that like Nolan Smith does because you just can't physically, like, it hurts. It hurts you. Like, normally, like, I really admire how he is somehow able to do what – I've seen this every year. Like, you would have guys come in and try to play the linebacker position or the fullback position or the tight end position with this new fervor where they're going to try to blow people up, like, really hit people hard. And it was every training camp you'd see some guy come in, try to set an example. Hey, look what I can do. And then they would last one day. You know, like one day, the next day, they're in the training room. You just can't – somehow he's able to balance this where he hits people harder than I've ever seen people get hit.
Yeah, he is I love Nolan Smith.
You should.
I do.
Everyone should because this guy is the most physical football player I think I've ever seen. Like, the consistently physical part.
Goddard's up there, too, by the way.
I don't know how people
– I mean,
Goddard's
talk about,
awesome
talk about laying the body on the line.
His body just shows the
– Well, Goddard's body showing the wear and tear.
Yeah.
Yeah, clearly.
Well, it's what you worry about with Nolan because it's not like he's the biggest guy, but he is violent.
There's no question.
He is so violent. Yeah. Right, I am, concerned about it holding up.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know how he does.
Yeah. All right, let's talk to Tom. Yo, Tom.
Yo, Joe. Like nothing I ever seen, man. Just a relentless fight to the end, played every whistle and, you know, leaving everything out there, man. That's all we ask is that you leave everything out there. A shout out to Vangio, who made adjustments at halftime, and an Eagle team that would just not give up, not quit, and just have a will to win. And the difference between the Rams and Green Bay and Dallas in week one is the Eagles know how to win. They've been to the mountaintop. You know, they know how to close a game out.
Well, I'll tell you this, Tom. They are the best I've ever seen in Philly sports at winning close games. And the one I would have told you before would have been the 0-1 Sixers. But this team has a unique ability to be in a frickin' fist fight and win in the end. It's really something.
And to come back like that without Lane Johnson, first ballot Hall of Fame, Lane Johnson.
Well, how about this time? I don't know if you heard it after the game yesterday. Sirianni went as far as to call Lane Johnson the best player he has ever coached.
Wow.
And he then pivoted because maybe he caught himself and he starts rattling off six or seven other players being like, well, this guy's great. You know, Jalen's great and Jalen Carter's great and A.J. Brown's great and Saquon Barkley's great. So that might have been a little bit of the coach kind of like maybe
some honesty and then trying to recover
a little
after.
Bit,
yeah,
a little bit. But he put it out there square that he thinks A.J. That
we
he
feel
thinks,
the same way
that
some
he thinks
days.
Lane is the best. So he's something, man.
You think McVay is good a coach as they make him out to be would have learned from that first block kick. He obviously didn't. You know what I thought about?
Well, that's on the
kicker.
To be fair, that's on the kicker. I mean, the kicker's just got to kick the ball higher. I mean, that's the kicker's fault.
You know, I was thinking about when they were lining up. I promise you, it flashed in front of me. I think it was 07. They blocked a kick in Lincoln Financial Field
05.
Against San Diego.
It was Matt. It was Matt. It was Ware, and it was
Michael
Quentin Michael.
Yeah,
and was it right. Matt Ware?
Matt Ware, yeah,
Matt
I think
Ware.
So.
One of them blocked it, and the other one ran it back.
Was it the Chargers or the Rams?
It was a week like 3 or 4 of 05.
Chargers.
And it was a miracle. Listen, Tom, I thought the same thing yesterday. It was incredibly similar. Incredibly similar. Right around the same time of the year as well. All right, Tom, excellent phone call. Let's listen to how it sounded yesterday. Marilyn Mike on the call. Obviously, Devin on the sideline. It was a lot. Listen, we will not get this week till everything that happened. It's not possible. I mean, James, just give me one or two things we haven't even gotten to today.
We haven't really talked at all about the worst first half statistically in the history of the Nick Sirianni era. They
minus
said that
one
on the broadcast.
Yards pass.
In the history, right. This dominant. It's the worst half of football the offense has ever played. How crazy is that?
It was.
We also haven't gotten just giving the special teams credit. Like they
or discredit
could have gone the other way.
Or discredit
could have gone the other way. But like the punter just keeps booming it. Like. Yeah. There's
Petullo,
so many little
Petullo's got to be on the list.
But
week.
I have never, ever, 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 ever seen a game. I mean, maybe in high school football you see it, where the combined kick returners drop 5 kicks.
Unbelievable. And again, two block field goals. The last time the Eagles had 2 block field goals in a game was the same date, September 21st, 1975. 50 years ago to the day. Isn't that crazy?
That is something. All right.
What about the play? I felt like there was a play of the game that no one really is looking at.
Okay,
right
which
now.
One?
We're not really talking about.
Yeah.
There was, it was 26-21 Rams.
Okay.
The Eagles have the ball at our 9.
Okay.
We're at the -9.
To AJ, you talking about? The 3rd and 10? Oh, my God. Yeah.
It was huge.
Third and 10, man. Yeah. 3rd and 10. We are trailing them. It's 3rd and 10. On the -9 yard line.
And what is there, about 7 minutes left in the game, something like that?
Yeah, yeah. It's
maybe
getting,
less. Maybe
it's
less.
Getting dire. I don't remember exactly, but it's AJ rips the ball out of the air.
Oh.
I mean, rips the ball out of the air with his hands and rolls for that first down. And then the next play, Jalen kept it himself for another first down.
Yeah.
And we were at midfield. We went from the -9.
Yep.
3rd and 10, gotta have it. This is the one play. We're gonna punt if you don't get 10+ yards
sure.
on this play.
Sure.
And we converted the very next play. Jalen keeps it himself. The very and we're at midfield, and the rest is history.
Yeah. 17 play, 91-yard drive to win the game.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what spurred that 17 play drive.
There was so much. There was officiating going too far with the taunting thing. Look, Jalen Carter deserved that penalty. And again, it's another you got to grow up moment. I mean, he's
the fact they got another. I mean,
He's clearly taunting the other team. I mean, he is. He's not talking to the fans that are across the way. He's talking to the other team. He's taunting them. That's
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Taunt. Well, but the one against Puka Nacua was not a taunt.
What he's saying, you know, like the officials who are throwing the flag, course. They can hear everything. You're screaming it at the other.
But they
team.
Are going too far. I mean, the Puka Nacua thing, I didn't think that's a taunt. Anyway,
ridiculous.
With all that said, let's listen to how it sounded yesterday. Marilyn Mike on the call. We're going to need a montage.
We're going to need a montage. It takes a montage.
It's home sweet home for the Eagles. Lincoln Financial Field, where they've won 11 straight games. Today, they will be challenged to keep it going by the also 2-0 Los Angeles Rams. Back goes Stafford. He's going deep. He wants Adams. He's got him for a touchdown. 44 yards. Stafford to Devontae Adams. Back goes Hurts. Here comes the rush. They've got him. McCullough coming in on Hurts, and he didn't have a prayer. Pass comes out in the flat. Williams is going to dance it in. Automatic. Timeout on the field with the score. 26-7. Rams. He's going deep down the far side of the field, and it is caught. A.J. Brown down near the 30.
That's where you need to go with the football.
Hurts steps up again. He is firing. It's caught. It's a touchdown for Dallas Goedert.
That's what the offense should look like. Now we're clicking.
Back goes Hurts. He's going for Brown. Touchdown! Inside the white pylon.
You've got A.J. Brown out there. He's in a one-on-one. That's a winning situation.
It's fourth down and one. Can they stop him? Tight formation. Nobody split. Down to Kula in motion. Handoff goes to Williams, and they shut him down! They stop him in his tracks! This is another short one, 36 yards. Here it is. Ball is spotted. The kick is blocked! It's blocked! And it's bouncing around in the Eagles' helmet. They blocked the kick! It is fourth and goal. This is the game right here. Hurts looks. Hurts fires. Complete! Touchdown! They take Smitty. The lead, Smith.
Smitty.
It's Smith, Devontae Smith.
Smitty.
Into the end zone, they take the lead. Eagles are going for two. They lead 27-26. These 2 points are important because otherwise the Rams can march down and beat them with a field goal. Here's Hurts. Back again, he fires, it is incomplete. Intended for Devontae Smith, so we will have to breathe a little heavier. Hold your breath. They blocked them the last time. The ball is spotted. The kick is away. It's blocked!
Again.
It's blocked! It's picked up by the Eagles. Running with it is Davis. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Game over! Jordan Davis!
Are you kidding me?
Blocked them again!
Are you kidding me?
Blocked them again! Have you ever seen anything like this?
Do you believe in miracles?
The Rams are standing silent. They can't believe what just happened to them. Successive field goal blocks win it for the Eagles. What a great, great game. What a great, great comeback. And the final score is 33-26.
Well, just an unbelievable victory by the Eagles. We continue to celebrate it today. Also to talk about the life and legacy and overall massive impact of Bernie Perrone on a day. There's a tremendous dichotomy, a tremendous positive, and a tremendous negative, that being the passing of Bernie. Both topics on the table, 215-592-9494. We'll get to the audio of what Jordan Davis said after the game about blocking that field goal and the celebration that ensued. That's up ahead in a moment. Plus, Seth Joyner, 9 o'clock.
I was looking at
Seth with us for an entire hour in studio.
I was looking at the first block again while we were listening.
Jalen Carter's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, as you go through, you know, they had different configurations, our D-line. We weren't always lining up Jalen and Jordan right next to each other over the left guard during the game, just depending on where the kick was coming from.
Yep.
But both blocks were from that same look, where you had Jalen Carter on the inside shade of the guard, the left guard, mm-hmm. and then you had Jordan Davis on the outside shoulder of that same guard. And before the first field goal block, the official actually came and moved Jalen Carter.
Did he think he was too close to the center?
Yeah. The official actually walked up. I mean, like, right before the snap. The official walked up and slapped his butt to move him over because he was a little bit too... Like, you're not allowed to hit that center at all.
And I've always thought that's an odd... Not hitting the center. I've always thought it's odd, John. It's one of the few things in sports where the official will flat tell you if you're about to do an infraction.
Yeah.
And it's a permissible part of the sport that the official can warn you.
It's why they get mad when they don't.
It's like the wide receivers thing, when they can go up on the line and be like, am I on the line?
But at least the wide receiver asks.
No, I know. I'm just saying, yeah, you're right. They offer the information.
He came up, and it's free.
It's a very odd element of sports that the official will...
I appreciate it. I mean, seriously, their first block, he came up, and he moved him a half second before the snap.
And they probably do that as a safety measure for the center.
100% for the snapper.
Because their heads down. And that's why they give the referee the leeway, because it's a preventative thing.
They changed that rule.
I'm telling you, there is no way. Look, now that you've got this idea, you're going to put these two men, Jordan and Jalen, you're going to put them on one person, that guard.
Yeah, but don't expect it to happen three or four or five times this year.
No, I'm just saying.
I mean, they've been playing together for 4 years. It's the first time.
I'm saying, you do this thing. I don't know why it won't work a couple more times this season.
We'll find out. Let's go to Patty right now. Patty, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. First, my condolences to the Perrant and Flyers family.
Yeah.
I grew up in the 70s, so I was definitely a Bernie Perrant fan, and he definitely was a good man and will be missed.
Big time. Great man, and will be sorely missed. And one of the absolute all-time greats in the history of Philly sports. A list which is, there's only about eight or nine. The Dr. J's, the Mike Schmidt's, the Steve Carlton's. I mean, the Wilt Chamberlain's, like the top of the top. He is in that group, no question.
Yes. I was at the game yesterday. The energy wasn't so good in the first half. The section I was sitting in, the fans around were chanting for Petullo's firing. But definitely something happened in that locker room. I'm not sure. I think I heard people saying, and I don't know if this is true, that Nick and Jalen took the play calling away from Petullo.
Well, I have not heard that. I don't know if that's...
No one said that.
It was a supposition.
It was, like I said, it was probably rumors, but I do believe something happened in that locker room because, man, they came out on fire.
Well, remember this. They didn't, Patty.
Yeah, they fumbled the opening play.
Right away, they turned it over, and the other team got a free touchdown. Right. It was after that they picked it up.
But still, and then people were starting to leave when the Rams were going down the field, getting ready to kick the field goal, and there's a lot of people that missed that great play by Jordan Davis.
Well, it's too bad for those people. That's on them.
Oh, it sure was.
I mean, if you're walking to your car and you hear the roar, I mean, that's on you.
Awesome. It was awesome. I feel bad for those people because they sure did miss a good play. And I'd love to know what his heart rate was after running and making that
field
goal.
I was amazed he was able to do that interview with Garofalo. Without needing oxygen. How many times have we seen players need oxygen?
Think about how much better shade.
Exactly.
Oh, it's so cool.
Hey, Patty,
to see that
Patty, great phone call. Let's get to the audio of Jordan Davis after the game, after the play. This is not the Garofalo interview, but this is him, Jordan Davis, at the podium describing the blocked field goal. Let's listen.
You know, it came down to just the technique and the fundamentals of everything. A lot of people look at field goal block as just another play, just another down, put your hands up, get off the field, check a box. But the way we talked about it on the sideline, we knew, especially off his last kick, we knew his angle. We knew his launch point when it's at the 30-yard line, somewhere around there. And we just hit the gap, put our hands up at the right time, And then I seen the ball on the ground, and then at that point, I knew it was a no-my situation, but we just took off from there. I wanted possession, so I wanted to make sure that we ended the game right. Didn't know I was going to go that fast. Didn't know I was going to make it all the way to the end zone. Just started running, and my legs carried me from there.
Tremendous. More of Jordan Davis, because he also described the celebration. I mean, he's there. He turns around. His whole team runs to him. But he also pivots to a lot of other elements of the game. Here's more Jordan Davis.
When I turned around, everybody was running towards me. So all I could do was just stand there and wait for him to come. Because if I try to run away, I was going to get moshed. But I think it's just my thing was just the fight that we had, that fight in that team, the drive, the hunger that they had, not being down, not being out of the game, fighting to the very end, clawing to the very end. I think that was something that when that hit me and I seen everybody, I was just like, man, like, what a way to end the game.
Yeah, I mean, beyond. It's absolutely incredible. Let's listen to more audio. Jordan Davis with Maria Taylor on NBC with Jalen Hurts. So Jordan Davis is doing an interview. It's one of those quick interviews that Maria Taylor and the NBC crew will do where they talk to some star players and then they'll play some of them that evening. So they've got the audio. They're talking to Jordan Davis. Jalen Hurts pops in. It's all great. Listen to Jalen with Jordan and Maria Taylor.
Come on in. Come on in. We got such a guest, Jalen Hurts, in the building. What up?
Jalen, what's up? It's Maria. Congratulations, bud.
Man. I knew you was going to make a play, dog.
Come on, man.
No, you didn't.
But did you really? I knew it. Jalen,
did you know that he ran 18 miles per hour? 18.5.
I'm sure he did. It turned out right when it was supposed to. Go ahead, look. I knew it. When I saw you and Jalen Carter line up next together, I said, them Georgia boys about to make a play. I already knew
it. Yeah. We talked about it.
That's exactly what it was.
Ice them.
Game over.
You heard it here first, man. You heard it here first.
Hey, can I get a go dogs then? One good time, Jordan.
Go dogs. Go dogs. Go dogs. Go dogs.
Get out of here, Jalen.
That was great. Like, I thought it might have been the best half Jalen ever played. He was really something.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.